In India, most women labor just to survive. Each day they may toil 4 to 8 hours gathering firewood and water, 8 to 10 hours more earning a few rupees to buy food and shelter and the bare necessities of life. Most of these women are self-employed, and this means that they have no legal status. They're frequently harassed by the police, exploited by wholesalers, their earnings frequently taken by their menfolk.
But many Indian women are fighting back, organizing themselves into associations of self-employed women with their own banks and training schemes. It's been said that of all the social reform movements in India, the women's movement is the most impressive and the most sustained. Julian Crandall Hollock visited one of the best known of these groups, the Self-Employed Women's Association in the city of Ahmedabad in western India.
It's Sunday morning in the bustling city of Ahmedabad. Next to Ellis Bridge, the main link between the old and new cities, women are selling clothes, tables, shelving, chairs on the sidewalks.
Vending is something that is very important for our country. It's the way that the distribution system, that marketing is done. There are hundreds of thousands of vendors who earn their living without any, without being a burden on anybody else. And all they want is, what, 2 square feet of space. That's all.
Ranana Jabwala is secretary of the Self-Employed Women's Association of Ahmedabad. Her office looks directly out over the women's market. Ranana says these women are in fact breaking laws. Laws first put on the statute books by the British 200 years ago to stop jaywalking. Laws that have never been repealed.
And in order to vend on the streets, you have to have a license. In order to have a license, you have the municipal corporation has to give you a license. And no municipal corporation in any city is giving any licenses to any vendors. So all the vendors in the country are illegal right now. Which means that it doesn't mean that they disappear or they don't disappear, because they're an economic fact of life. But it means that their life becomes very hard. You know, they are harassed by the police and they are harassed by the municipal corporation and so on.
Must be an awful lot of people engaged in illegal activities.
Then. Yes, lots of
people. And you must be working on behalf of criminals.
Then. Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Not in, we know the police so well. I mean, we know every policeman, every police inspector. In fact, we are on one, our secretary Niruben is on the police committee, since we know them so well.
Almost 20 years ago, Seva's founder, Ella Bhatt, decided to do something about the plight of these women, struggling to make a living to feed their families. Ella herself was then a union organizer in the textile mills.
And while working for women textile workers, I realized more and more that there are hundreds and thousands of economic activities which are being done by others, men and women both, in the unorganized sector. And why can't they have their own union?
Ella had no clear plan how to organize these women and get them a legal status as self-employed workers. But she did know that all the talk of a women's movement would be so much hot air if it didn't focus on the working women of India, the vegetable vendors and the cigarette makers, and the millions tending the fields. Ella began by organizing several hundred Muslim block printers. The women print designs on cloth with wooden molds. And they were caught in a real bind because the person who sold them their raw materials was the same person who bought the finished product from them. The raw materials were expensive. The sale price kept low. If the women complained, they knew there were thousands of unemployed women in Ahmedabad who would do the same work for less.
A very large portion of the income of the family are dependent upon the woman's income from block printing. But when we also found that these are being more and more displaced because of screen printing. So then we made also a study of the market. Fortunately, we found that there was a small market which was growing. But for that, they needed higher skill.
With a small group of women organizers, Ella Bhatt trained the block printers. They taught them how to make natural vegetable dyes, how to organize themselves into a cooperative, and how to make their own designs. But there was still one vital piece missing. The women needed money to buy their raw materials, to expand production. And the nationalized banks refused to make commercial loans to self-employed individuals. So Ella and her group set up their own bank, now the heart of Seva. On the ground floor next to the bank tellers is the tiny office of Jayashree Vyas, the bank manager. Jayashree says that the amount on deposit, the share capital, has increased in just 5 years from 40,000 rupees to 700,000 rupees, about $50,000. And the bank has almost $750,000 out on loans. Commercial banks are skeptical that poor self-employed women could ever pay such loans back. But Jayashree produces charts that show that savers' recovery rate year in, year out is 98%. The only dip occurred 2 years ago when bad communal riots left many of the women unable to sell on a regular basis. Outside Jayashree's office, women accompanied by their husbands line up at the counters, deposit books in hand, just like any other bank.
Now, how many women now are investing, have savings accounts in the bank?
It's 20,000.
20,000, so it's about the same. Now, I noticed some men here. Now, what are they?
Actually,
are men allowed to have accounts here, or are they withdrawing?
No, they don't have accounts, but we give loans on personal guarantee. And these men are guarantors of these loans. Actually, we give loans out of that. And whatever this.
Of course, this isn't a normal bank. And that's because its clients aren't your average bank customers. This is one bank that's rarely been set up to meet the needs of its members.
Some securities which are approved by government. See, 94% of our clients, means women, are illiterate. So they do not know how to sign, or they do not know all those banking procedures. So we have to teach them that. Another thing is that most of them are doing some work in that place. So they cannot come to our bank every day. So we have to send our field workers there. So it's like a mobile bank.
Now, what are most of these people using their loans for? And what's the average size of a loan?
Average size of loan is 3,000 rupees. We are normally giving loans for only productive purposes, like for working capital or for buying their equipments. But in many cases, it happens that they might have already borrowed from money lenders, and they are paying very high rate of interest. So in such cases, we are giving them loans for giving back that money to money lenders, and thereby saving them from giving more interest or high rate of interest.
What sort of rate of interest does a money lender charge?
That depends. I mean, that is 10 rupees per day or 100 rupees.
And you're charging them?
1 rupee per day, 12% per year.
Is the idea of coming to a bank, of essentially opening up a separate account, of separate from their husbands, is that a very difficult step for them to take?
Opening an account in a bank in her own name, I think they are not reluctant about that. Once they come to bank and they know what are the procedures, then they are not reluctant to.
Upstairs on the second floor, another customer, Shantaben, has come for a mortgage to buy a house, something that would have been unheard of a few years ago. A gold merchant who comes once a week is weighing and inspecting a kilogram of gold jewelry that Shantaben has saved since her marriage. Renana Jabwala tells me that Shantaben's gold is worth 18,000 rupees, probably worth $10,000 in purchasing power.
Where does somebody get all that amount of gold? Because that's got a substantial amount of gold.
Well, that's about the only thing that women have here. They inherit it from their mothers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some inherit it from their mothers-in-law. When, especially on marriage, they get it from as dowry, really, because their parents give it to them at the time of marriage.
Yeah.
And it belongs to them.
Renana says that many women now deposit their jewelry with the saver bank because if they keep it at home, it gets stolen, often by their husbands or their husbands' families. Here, it's safe. And for perhaps the first time, these women have something to fall back on if a marriage goes sour or the husband dies. In a tiny windowless brick room down an alleyway in the old city, Ulaben, a small, wiry woman in her late 40s, peels off a wad of tattered rupee bills from a little tin jar on a shelf to give to Niruben, one of the bank officers out meeting her customers.
She has taken loan from our banks for 2 to 3 times.
bachchi chhota kar in love.
I'm also collecting loan installment and saving. She has paid a loan installment of 100 rupees and also she's paying.
How much is she going to put in her savings?
I think 25 rupees.
No, she's going to put more.
Nehru Ben takes the money and stuffs it in the best Hollywood fashion into her bodice. Ulla Ben makes stools and teapots and sells them in one of Ahmedabad's antique markets. Ulla Ben needs money to buy her raw materials. 5 years ago, she used to have to borrow that money from the moneylender, and he charged daily interest of 10%. Like millions of other women, Ulla Ben was permanently in debt and unable to make more stools and teapots to pay herself out of that debt. With the loans, she's been able to expand her business. And with her son, she now makes 300 to 400 rupees a week. In terms of purchasing power, that's perhaps $150. Of course, she's got her loans to pay off. But Ulla Ben is now free and prospering to a limited but significant extent.
It is good now we have started our business, and since we did not have any capital and we have got it from bank, we can make more money, and we are happy now.
Next stop is a market in the heart of the old part of the city. And here sits Raji Ben, 40 years old, under a canvas umbrella, her vegetables displayed on a handcart. Tomatoes, okra, long green Indian cucumbers, potatoes, onions, garlic, mountains of garlic. Indians grow masses of the stuff. When the drought hit here in Gujarat, the garlic growers in the south had a field day. Several became millionaires overnight. Raji Ben's the president of the Vegetable Vendors Association and a member of one of Saver's committees.
How long have you been selling vegetables, Raji Ben?
Since last 20 years, I am doing this business. When I sell vegetables of 500 rupees, I get 20 to 25 rupees per day. I have taken a loan from bank and I am paying installments there, and my working capital money has come from bank.
Before she became a member of Saver, Raji Ben had to buy her vegetables on credit. Any profit she might have made disappeared right there. Although she has to feed a family of 12, Raji Ben agrees that things have definitely improved these past few years. For one thing, now that they're allowed to sell here, the police can't extort bribes.
Yeah, those are not the best ones. These are the best ones. Yeah. Those are the ones.
Raji Ben may have got a loan to sell vegetables in the market. But when I bought some tomatoes, it was her husband seated beside her who actually took my money. And Ella Bhatt says this is one of the oldest problems facing Saver members.
We had a very bitter, sad experience of handcart pullers and head loaders.
Head loaders are, as their name suggests, women who transport goods on their heads, everything from bales of cloth to bricks. Ella organized and fought for these women to get them higher daily wages.
But what happened is that it is their men who took over that work, and women were again pushed back as head loaders.
Why did the men take over? Because of the higher rates?
Yes, because it had better rates, it had better income. And we, that is the organizers, we felt very sad. But the women, they said that no, it is since it has more income, so it is a men's privilege.
Ella says the same women wouldn't give in today, even though their men still try and take over the women's jobs once they become profitable. The official trade unions are another obvious enemy of the self-employed sector. The unions see Saver as a threat to their entrenched privileges.
So these farmer sector unions do realize that it is a threat. And these unions do not want to share the prosperity, what they have, with the informal sector.
So what do they do? Side with the bosses against you, or?
No, they straightway try to fight with us and then finish us in that very industry or plant.
The biggest problem, however, is caste. Most trades are caste-based closed shops which refuse to allow women from other castes in.
See, when she comes to seva or when she is participating in a meeting, then everybody sits at the same level and then everybody is allowed to participate. And when she goes home, then she has to sit on the floor, then she has to cover her face. Then she's not allowed to mix with the Harijans or with Muslims. Then here everybody is equal and eats together.
Seva is one of the most impressive women's organizations in India, and it spawned dozens of imitations, including a women's bank in Chicago. Seva has grown to include more than 20,000 members in Ahmedabad. For the past 4 years, Ella Bhatt has been an appointed member of India's Upper House of Parliament, and last December, she was named to the influential National Planning Commission in Delhi, where she is trying to extend the ideas developed in Ahmedabad to the country as a whole. For National Public Radio, this is Julian Crandall-Hollick reporting.
It's All Things Considered.